CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. To Australia, Scott Maiman for CBS News. Scott is in Canberra. He spends most of his time in Brisbane, in Queensland. Right now, however, it's all the continent of concern because the word recession is in Australia as it is here in the United States, as it is in Europe. Will there be? Is it already here? Scott, a very good day to you in Australia. You are blessed with natural resources, an educated working force, and customers, not the least being the People's Republic of China, who need everything you've got. Therefore, there's reason to believe that Australia can avoid the worldwide recession that is said to be about to arrive, you know, on the horizon. But I read that you have concerns as we do. You have a very high inflation rate. Good day to you, Scott.
G'day, John. Yeah, the year started on a positive note. We were told by our authorities we're keeping our heads above water as far as the economy is concerned. The rest of the world, yeah, there's going to be a global slowdown, a recession, but the thought was Australia would ride it out, stay above the levels that would bring on a recession. Things have changed just in the past week, John. We're now being told that with a soaring inflation rate, it's now near 8% here in Australia. We've had consecutive rate rises. It's now 3.35%, and it's going to be higher. The economists are now changing their tune. They're now saying because of that, it may actually cause a recession, and it may just be just around the corner, John. Not the usual math that you would believe for a recession, but this is what economists are saying. The cost of living is going to be causing issues and bring on a recession in Australia.
Right now, I think your employment number is very good. I read, I think, 3.4. It's very low, so everybody's working. It's a mystery here, Scott, as well. We have hiring. We had a big hiring number for January, and I asked the question of the economists I know, can you have a recession with full employment? And the answer is, we don't know. And I guess that's the same picture for you. You have a full employment, but the recession is still a threat. What about housing prices? Have they been sinking?
Housing prices, yes, they have been dropping. They've been at all-time highs, and it's been out of reach. Homes have been out of reach for so many people to buy because they've been so high. Now that with the interest rates going up, the house prices are going down, and it's actually causing concern for people who do have a home who are wanting to sell may actually get stuck with a bill if they sell. They won't be making money. They'll be making a loss if they sell their home.
We go to climate. It's been a concern for two or three cycles now with La Nina always coming back with flooding, with heavy rains, and with the strangeness of snow in Victoria. However, there's a typhoon off of eastern Australia called Gabrielle. What's it like in a typhoon in Brisbane? Is it do trees go down? Do houses get blown aside? The water come up? The stuff that we see in a hurricane.
Yeah, this particular cyclone, as we call it, it's offshore. It's still well away from our coastline. However, we are going to feel the effects. The wind damage, as you correctly pointed out, trees are still going to come down. We may still see some storm surges coming in, particularly on the Gold Coast where I live. And that's going to be causing some dismay, even though we won't be truly hit by the cyclone itself. Now, this is a cyclone. It could change track. It could turn and come across the mainland Australia, and then we could get probably a cyclone category 2, something like that. And that's when even more damage is done. Buildings collapse under the weight of the storm. But at this stage, it's destined to stay out at sea, but take on one of our territories, Norfolk Island, which is a beautiful, though lowly populated area, but a significant area. And then it's on track to continue to New Zealand. So we may still have a story out of this come the end of next week, John.
The Environment Minister, Tanya Pilbersek, has blocked a coal mine to develop near the Great Barrier Reef. Not on the Great Barrier Reef, near the reef. Is this a controversy? You make a lot of money. You have really good coal.
There are mixed feelings about this, John. Usually when a coal mine is going to be opening up, it gets agreed to because, well, we need the coal. We've got the best coal in the world and we need the fuel, of course. But this is interesting because the character involved is a guy by the name of Clive Palmer. Now, here in Australia, he'd be described as a bit of a larrikin of sorts. He's had his own football team. He's had his own political party. But he's considered a joke. This guy announced plans to build a replica Titanic. This is a guy who's a little bit out there and then to the left a bit, if you ask me. But he is one of Australia's wealthiest people. He does things mainly to get attention. So there's a question mark if he knew it was going to be knocked back or if he was serious. But the thing is, though, because it's so close to one of our natural wonders, of course, one of the seven wonders of the world, the Great Barrier Reef, it may have been thought that, the government wants to save the Great Barrier Reef from potential of disaster, and this coal mine could have potentially done that, or Clive Palmer knew that this was going to be the case, wanted to get his name in the headlines, and tried to do something that he knew he was not going to succeed in. The jury's still out on that, John.
Well, he got the attention, a coal mine with less than 10 kilometers to the Great Barrier Reef. Now, a tragedy that is unanswered, MH17. All these years later, how many Australians were on board when it came down?
God, it absolutely terrible, John. 38 Australians were on board that jet. And because there were so many Australians on board, Australian authorities were involved in the investigation into MH17, why it came down. Of course, the word we got this week was that the authorities had run out of leads, that they couldn't follow up anymore. But we know from the previous discussions, the previous reports that came out, we've narrowed it down to Russian-affiliated Ukraine war folk who launched a Russian missile at this Malaysian Airlines jet. Of course, Russia says they didn't do it, but we know better. And there's just so much that we can take this investigation. And unfortunately, it's had to come to a pause because they can't take it any further.
The headline says Putin implicated. To be continued, Scott, to be continued. Now, this is my favorite story. How many Sydneys are there, Scott, that this man tried to fly to, and where did he wind up?
Well, there are five place names around the world called Sydney. This is incredible. Of course, our tourist hub, Sydney, one of them, which is where this bloke, 62-year-old Kingsley Burnett from New York, thought he was flying to, and he thought he was on a ripper of a deal, a cheap flight to Australia. He boarded the plane and he had to stop in Billings, Montana to get to Sydney. Rather odd connection, but a very quick-thinking, smart agent at the gate realized he was going to the wrong Sydney. He was actually going to Sydney, North Dakota, instead. But I'm pleased to say they managed to get things sorted for him. He was in Australia one day later than expected. Just that one day delay. But it brings to mind, you got to be careful when you make these bookings. Five different Sydneys around the world. The one here in Australia, North Dakota, as we mentioned before. Nova Scotia in Canada. South Africa has a Sydney as well. And one more Sydney. It's a bit of a tropical getaway. It's in Vanuatu. Now, it's close to Sydney, Australia, but I'm sorry, no cigar.
Scott Maiman, CBS News in Canberra. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows. But the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. When you need me, I'll be by your side.